yes, it's been a blessing to being here thus far. And yes, I also appreciated Brother Sheldon's devotional. Almost thought that maybe that'd be good enough today and we could just go home with that. It fits very well in with what I've chosen to speak about today. In fact, I've entitled the message, Wise Words to Live By. And it fits right in with what he had to say. And also with Brother James reading there in Proverbs. Proverbs is the main focus of wise words that I chose to speak about today. And I'll sort of be jumping back and forth in with different verses and such like, so you don't have to always turn to every verse. But speaking of wise words, we appreciate when people have some wise words for us to help us in different situations. Just the other day, I had someone call me about one of our search and rescue coordinators, and he said, "Hey, when I need some words, I need some wise words, I need some wisdom." Well, I have no idea why he called me because I don't have that much. But anyhow, we discussed an incident that they're involved with and stuff, and so we appreciate being able to get wise words from other people that will help us in our life, in different situations, and whatever. And I dare say, if we really study the book of Proverbs, I think we'll find wise words for almost every situation in life. The book of Proverbs contains insightful observations with a focus on day-to-day behavior and personal character. A proverb has been called a short sentence founded upon long experience. And I'm sure that's what was behind the verse in Proverbs 26, verse 17. Can anyone tell me what that is? I might ask every now and then for someone to see if someone knows what a verse is without looking it up. That's okay. I don't know all of these myself without looking them up either, but Proverbs 26, verse 17 says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." I think that's wisdom from experience. You don't do that. You just don't do that. So I think that's Proverbs, is we can learn a lot from Proverbs. Essentially, Proverbs is also an instruction manual that covers all of life. The beginning chapters present a series of lessons that a father is teaching his son. And then the latter chapters emphasize how God's wisdom applies to changing life situations as the son matures. And that's sort of divided up into what Proverbs really is about. And the purpose of Proverbs, I believe, can be found in the very first chapter. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 there. He says there, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know," or we could say to experience, "wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive," which is to get or to take, "the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety," or cautiousness, "to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase or enhance learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." I believe that is sort of the purpose of Proverbs in a nutshell. And I believe it's not simply enough to be educated and to have knowledge. there's a lot of us have knowledge on a lot of things, as Brother Sheldon was talking about things that he can help with the discussion. He has got knowledge about some things, and therefore he can help in the discussion. But it's not enough to simply be educated and have knowledge. As important as education is, Proverbs is written so that you and I can become wise in God's eyes. That's where wisdom really is. It's not enough to simply be educated and have knowledge. We also need wisdom, which is the ability to use the knowledge that we have. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for wise is used to describe people who are adept at working with their hands. In other words, they know how to do something, and they have the wisdom to put it to use. They know how to use a tool. They've got the knowledge, but then they're putting it to use. That is wisdom. Today, we want to explore at least five practical pathways to wisdom. And I believe the first one is going to be the most important. And that is develop the fear of the Lord. To develop a fear of the Lord, a proper view of who God is really, really important. To the modern, biblically illiterate ears, that is like to the modern people today, biblically illiterate ears, to fear the Lord means to be afraid of God because he might strike you down with a bolt of lightning or a ball of fire at any moment. The fear of the Lord. But that's not the fear of the Lord we're talking about today. I believe that would be the terror of the Lord, would be that. And that only comes to those who have not developed the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is intricately tied to loving, serving, and holding fast to the Lord in response to all the wonderful and gracious things that he has done for us. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs, first chapter in verse 7. Is, I think, is both the theme of the book and the key that unlocks it, unlocks the way to wisdom. It says, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We see this in this one verse. We see the nature, the necessity, and the neglect of the fear of the Lord. So the nature of the fear of the Lord is, let's look at that first phrase there, the fear of the Lord. When we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize him as the creator, and we are the created. He is the sovereign, and we are the servants. He is the Father, and we are his children. Keeping God in the right perspective and knowing who God really is. The phrase fear of the Lord literally means to live before the face of God. It's the idea of being so in awe of God that I long to obey him. A little bit like dogs. A lot of us have dogs. And dogs are trained to do certain things sometimes. And even if it's just a play. But they are eager to do whatever the master tells them to do. How eager are we to do what God wants us to do? The dog can sit there and look at admiration at his master and just, whatever you want me to do, I'll go do it right now. How eager are we? Proverbs talks about taking a lesson from the ants. I think we can also take a lesson from dogs, from different things. One pastor puts it like this: when we fear the Lord, there is an element of dread in what his wrath can do. But there is also such a respect for him and for his will that nothing else matters but doing that which pleases the Lord. That is what it means. True fear of the Lord is a childlike fear. The Puritans used to call it the filial fear, a combination of holy reverence and glowing love. To fear God is to have a heart that is sensitive both to his greatness and his graciousness. It means that we are simultaneously experience great awe and deep joy. It just all works together. Or to say it another way, we are called to revere and to rejoice in him. He is God. He is above all. What is God to you? That's the question. Fearing God includes understanding how much God hates sin and fearing his judgment on sin. I believe the main emphasis in the entire Bible is the fear of the Lord, if we really look at it. And then so now, going to some of the scriptures to show us how important this is. The fear of the Lord can keep us from sinning. In Exodus 20, verse 20, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." The fear of the Lord. And the fearing God will motivate us to care for the hurting. In Leviticus 19, verse 14, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor yet put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord." And God blesses those who fear him. In Psalms 128, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and thou shalt be well, and it shall be well with thee." Being in the will of God, fearing God with the proper fear of God, and living in such a way, we're not going to be fearing God just so we receive the blessing, but we are fearing God because of our love and awe for him. God works wonders so that we can fear him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him." Our mighty and powerful God does things to help us to keep him in the right perspective. Fearing God is of supreme importance. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Could anyone tell me what that one is? I think it's a very familiar one. And this is not, I'm not doing this as just as a challenge. I just want all of us to be, try to get this a little more, maybe get references into our heads too. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear God and keep his commandments. It is very important that we do that. If we just do that, everything else will take care of itself. And if we don't fear God, we'll forsake him. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see it as an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." Because of not having the fear of God in them, that is why they they backslid, and their own wickedness was a judgment to them. And then the necessity of the fear of the Lord. Going back to chapter 1, verse 7, there in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. The second phrase there tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word beginning is used to describe the choicest of offerings, the most excellent, the best, the chief, the beginning of knowledge. It also refers to a starting point, the ultimate goal. And then we also read in chapter 9, verse 10, where he says, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We will never find wisdom by worshiping a God made by our own imagination. When we fear him, we are humbled. Until our hearts are right, we are unable to receive the wisdom that comes from above. According to James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. I think there's the bottom line. If we want to know anything, we must grow in our fear of God. Because without fear of God, we will know nothing. That is where wisdom comes from God. And then also the neglect of the fear of the Lord, which is also here in verse 7, shows a contrast between those that fear God and the fools who don't. He says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are only two categories of people in the world, the wise and the wicked. Those who revere and those who reject. God-fearing and godless fools. D.L. Moody was a passionate preacher who boldly proclaimed the gospel. And people often heckled him. One meeting, an usher handed Moody a folded piece of paper while he was preaching. And thinking it was an announcement, he quieted the crowd and prepared to read it. And of course, known for his quick wit, Moody looked up and said, I've been handed a letter which contains the simple word, fool. This is most unusual. I've heard of people who have written letters and forgot to sign their name, but this is the first time that I've heard of anyone signing his name and forgetting to write the letter. But taking advantage of that teachable moment, Moody changed his sermon and turned it on to Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A very teachable moment. And a fool is not someone who is just a couple of bricks shy of a load, or one whose elevator doesn't go to the top. A fool is not someone who is a few French fries short of a Happy Meal either. In Proverbs, the fool is the one who doesn't follow God's ways. He's the one who knows the right thing to do, but instead does the opposite or simply doesn't do anything. That is the definition of a fool. The book of Proverbs lists a number of practical benefits that result from living in the fear of the Lord. One of the best ways to stay away from sin is to fear God. So Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. fear the Lord and depart from evil. Lots of instruction, just right to the point. And chapter 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God wants nothing to do with those things. Then in chapter 16, verse 6 tells us, when we tremble before God, we'll move away from sin. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If we truly fear the Lord, we will have a desire to serve Him, to please Him, to obey Him, and to do the right thing. And that will keep us from evil. If you're serious about following God, then focus on fearing God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the way to grow in holiness is by seeing God as holy, having the right perspective of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Fearing God is having a continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think, we say, or do. God is watching everything. Someone once said, to fear God is to love Him so that His frown would be your greatest dread and His smile would be your greatest delight. And cultivating fear of the Lord can also give us confidence. According to Proverbs 14, verse 26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. And Psalm 34:11 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. To us as parents, is that what we are teaching our children? Are we teaching them the fear of the Lord? Most of us struggle to be content with life. So fearing God will help us to find satisfaction. A little bit what Brother James mentioned about the weather. You know, finding it a little difficult sometimes because of the weather. I mean, the other week when all that snow and rain, or snow and ice and stuff was up here, of course, we were in Florida. So we felt like, well, we sort of enjoyed that because we actually extended our stay a few more days in Florida because couldn't work anyway. But if we'd have been at home, it might have been a little more discouraging for us. But we can't allow those things to discourage us. But it says in Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Fearing God also helps us to not be jealous of what others have, according to Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. All the day long. Also Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Paul David Tripp writes, only when awe of God rules your heart will you be able to keep the pleasures of the material world in their proper place. Only when awe of God rules your heart. Because we can get so easily sidetracked with things of this life, with our busy schedules, with our wealth that we have, whatever, we can easily get sidetracked with these earthly material things. But having the fear of God, the proper fear of God, in our hearts will help us keep everything in the right perspective, the right priority. So the primary way to become a wise guy or a wise woman is to live in the light of God's awesomeness. How do you view God? So now number two, devote yourself to the Word of God. How much time, as Brother Sheldon mentioned, how much time do we spend reading the Word of God? Personal devotions. How much time? It's a challenge for each one of us. It is very important to take time to spend time in the Word of God. I don't do that nearly enough. I encourage you in that. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Spending time in the Word of God. There is no way to become wise apart from the Word of God. It doesn't matter how smart someone is. If he or she does not know the Bible, their wisdom is deficient. We don't know the things that we should know if we don't spend time in the Word of God, if we don't know the Word of God. So, have you devoted yourself to the Word of God? Devoted means more than just taking time. Devoted means this is it. I am doing this and doing it every day. I know we've got busy schedules. But I truly believe, like Sheldon said, some days you don't get much sleep at all because of our busy schedules. But I truly believe that if we spend time, even forfeit some sleep to spend time with God, even with our busy schedules, I believe God has the ability to overrule our tiredness and give us strength and energy to keep right on going because we are focused on Him. That's where our strength is in God, not in ourselves. Number three, determine to get wisdom. After developing the fear of the Lord and devoting ourselves to the Word of God, the next step is to determine to get wisdom. One does not get wise without working at it. We need to be proactive, not passive. Again, as Brother Sheldon mentioned, when he wanted to learn something more about deer management, put some effort into it, and then he learned more and he became knowledgeable in that because he put effort into it. And that's exactly what we need to do with wisdom. If we want to obtain wisdom, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to develop that proper fear of God, and we have to put some effort into it. It's not just going to happen on its own. So turning to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, there he says, my son, if thou wilt receive, which is to grasp or seize my words, and hide, which is memorize, my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear, pay close attention to, unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after, or have a desire for, knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice, which is ask for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hidden treasures, something very valuable. If we notice those in those verses there, Solomon writes, if thou, in order to show that if we want, we must go in the right direction. Make the decision, then determine to go and get it. Then in verse 5 begins with, then. If we are proactively going after wisdom, then we will become wise. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. It's all right there. This whole message in a nutshell is right there. The more we fear, the wiser we become, and the more we search for wisdom, the more we will fear God. It's interesting. Proverbs 1 teaches fearing God leads to wisdom. And chapter 2 says the search for wisdom leads to fearing God. It's like at the bank, compounding interest. It just grows and grows and grows. The more we fear, the wiser we become, and the more we search for wisdom, the more we will fear God. And then number 4, decide to ask for it. Have you asked God for wisdom? And if you have asked God for wisdom, have you asked him for wisdom or have you asked him for knowledge? And just like planting seeds, if we ask for wisdom, is the soil prepared? Is our heart prepared? Do we have the proper fear of God? Are we devoted to studying his word so that the soil is prepared so that wisdom can actually grow? If you could ask for only one thing in this year, 2024, what would it be? If you could ask one thing, would it be fame, power, money, good health, long life? What would it be? One night God appeared unto Solomon there in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 5 and said, ask what I shall give you. Just whatever you want, I'll give it to you. That was his chance to have anything that he wanted. But Solomon's answer is sort of startling actually in its simplicity. He merely requested a discerning heart and a supernatural ability to distinguish between right and wrong. God was pleased with this kind of request and said in verse 12, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning heart. If we would have been Solomon at that point in time, what would we have asked for? Solomon was wise enough already to know that he wasn't wise. I think he called himself like a child, that he's too young to be king of this thy great people, to rule his people. He felt very humbled and inadequate, so that's why he was asking God for wisdom. Solomon became the quintessential wise guy simply because he had asked for wisdom. Once we want wisdom more than anything else, we must decide to ask God for it. God will grant us that. But there again, it's based on those conditions of our heart. And then number 5, dedicate yourself to Jesus. Find a pathway to wisdom, the final pathway to wisdom, is found in Jesus himself. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is where it all is in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ, then you need to come to him in faith. And if you already are a believer, then make sure that you are fully surrendered to Him. Does Christ have the rule over your hearts? Are you fully surrendered to Him? To know and to love and to follow Jesus is to gain wisdom. So if you want to become a wise guy or a wise gal, then develop the fear of the Lord, devote yourself to the Word of God, determine to get wisdom, and decide to ask for it, and then dedicate yourself to Christ, to live a life that is pleasing to Him for the rest of our life. That is what God is asking for. And He will give us wisdom. We'll still need, in different situations, we'll still need to ask again. That doesn't mean that once we have that wisdom, we'll never have to ask for advice. I don't believe that is actually even the fear of God in us anymore if we do it that way. But God will give us wisdom as we go through life. He will give us grace for every situation. Let's strive to have wisdom, to strive for wisdom from above. And then our life will be a lot easier. Let us kneel to pray.